Good evening.
And to mine, our virtual worship this Monday, Thursday is going to look quite a bit different than normal. Something different than we've experienced before. We'll be cooking a simple unleavened bread recipe and a red lentil soup. You can find a list of ingredients in your email, probably, if you get the Christ the King emails. You can also go onto our website at ctkb.org and look for our Monday, Thursday worship service, and you'll see a list of all the
Or you could worship now and cook later, or you don't have to cook at all. You get to participate however is most comfortable for you.
Either way, you're going to want to have some bread and some wine or grape juice available as we're going to share the practice of Holy Communion with one another tonight. And when we get to that part in our liturgy, you're going to use those elements to share that and remember the Last Supper of Jesus Christ.
We hope that this time of worship will buoy your spirits and allow you to enter into these holy days in a new and different way. As you know, every good meal first begins with the putting on of your apron to keep your outfit clean, but it also begins with washing of hands. We know this reality well, especially during our COVID times, on how important it is that we wash our hands so that all who will eat the delicious food that we make will stay healthy and well, so that we can actually serve them with it. The Holy Gospel according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it in the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, One who has been bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So just as Jesus washed the disciples' feet, you are invited to wash your hands at this time, or to wash the hands of those who are in your house.
Now we've got our hands washed and we are ready to begin cooking this evening. But before we get to making the unleavened bread, I want to share the story that begins this tradition. The story that Jesus was retelling and reenacting with his disciples as he celebrated that Last Supper. For let us remember that Jesus was a Jew. His disciples were Jews and they were celebrating the Jewish holiday of Passover. And this is from Exodus 12, about how the first Passover was instituted. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. This is the word of God, the word of life. Thanks be to God. So now let's get to this making this unleavened bread recipe. So get your ingredients together. And as you get your ingredients together, if you don't have all these, I'll give you a few ideas about some substitutions that you can make. This is a pretty forgiving recipe and pretty simple. So like I said, this is a pretty forgiving recipe. If you don't have whole wheat flour, you can just use 3 cups of regular all-purpose flour. If you've only got whole wheat flour and you don't have any all-purpose flour, you can use 3 cups of whole wheat flour. It really works either way. So we're just going to finish sifting up here. We're all set. Now this is a good time, if you haven't already, to preheat your oven to 350 degrees. I've got mine preheated, so we are good to go there. Now, the next thing that the recipe says is you want to mix in 4 teaspoons of oil. Now, what kind of oil you use, it doesn't really matter. You can just use vegetable oil. I've got some olive oil. And what you're going to want is just 4 teaspoons of that. And just pour that right into that sifted flour. And 1, 2, 3, and 4. And once you got it in there, we're going to give it a stir around just to kind of mix it up. Now, once you got that going, you're going to get your sugar and your water. And that's going to be our liquid ingredients that are going to go into this. So the recipe says to use 3 tablespoons of honey, 3 tablespoons of molasses. That'll give the bread kind of this nice brown color when we're finished making it. Now, if you like molasses, you can go a full 6 tablespoons of molasses. You can do all molasses. If you really like honey, you can do 6 tablespoons of honey. If you don't have one or the other, that's an easy thing. You can just sub in right there. So what I'm going to do is actually I'm going to use 6 tablespoons of just honey. We're going to mix that in here. And then I've got some hot water going behind me. So we're going to get these tablespoons. Go ahead, you can divide this dough ball up into sections. I'm gonna, the recipe says divide it up into four. You can certainly do that. So we're just gonna take a chunk here. And I'm actually just gonna divide it up into two. That's gonna be enough. We're gonna do one, big one right here. And you just kind of flatten it out here in the pan. And I just use my fingers for this, flattening it out in the pan. And getting it set here, just kind of a nice round shape. And I'll show you what I end up with here. So the timer just went off on the bread. I'm going to get it out and brush it with a little bit of oil and then put it back in for a few more minutes just to finish it off. And it's going to take just a couple more minutes. I'm going to see, look at my recipe here. We want to go about another 5 to 8 minutes until the bread is fully cooked. So here's our bread so far. I'm going to brush it with a bit of oil here. And then I'm going to score it too. And this is a good time. Oh, my timer's going off. This is a good time to score it. Now, I made these loaves pretty thick. And so you can see they puffed up a bit. If you went with actually dividing it into four pieces, your loaves might not be as thick as this. But it'll work here nicely, however you do. We're just brushing it with some oil. I've got olive oil for this purpose. And then pop it right back in the oven for another 5 to 8 minutes. My loaves are pretty big, so I'm going to do 8 more minutes. So my timer just went off, and I'm going to take the bread out of the oven and set it on this wire rack to cool. So here we are, nicely baked loaf. We're just gonna set it out here on the wire rack and we're gonna cool down. Yeah. So we set that out to cool, let it cool a good 30 minutes, maybe even up to an hour. And by that time it should be still warm, but cool enough to eat. And we'll catch back up with you when we share this bread for Holy Communion.
Welcome back to the Anderson Libert Kitchen, where we will begin making soup. I hope that bread is starting to fill up the smells in your house and it's starting to get warm and smell like supper.
the first thing that you will want to do when we're going to make this soup is you'll want to get out the things you need to chop, which is carrots. It says one big large carrot in the recipe. I always just put in two because I like that. If you have one carrot, that's great. Onion and garlic. And I always have handy with this recipe a pitcher of water, or I've measured out 4 cups of water here because we use 4 cups of broth in this recipe. And I use Better Than Bouillon seasoning, which you mix with water. So, and then you also add an additional 2 cups of water. So if you want to get some water measured out, that is useful for one of the beginning phases so things don't stick to the bottom of the pan. You also might want to have your seasonings handy. You might want to have your measuring spoons handy, your tomato paste opened, and I always put a bowl out for my veggie scraps as I am cooking myself. So the first thing that you're going to want to do is get your cutting board and your knife and to just chop the carrots and the onions and the garlic. So we're going to start there. Now your carrots, you're going to want to set aside in another bowl because you won't use them for a little bit, which is why I chop the carrot first. But your onion and your garlic, you can chop up. And while you're chopping those two, you can start to warm up the pot in which you are going to make your soup on a medium-high heat for the moment. And I'm going to get another dish for my carrots and then chop up my onions and garlic and add them to my pan with a little olive oil. Okay, so now my onions and my garlic are chopped, and I'm gonna grab some olive oil in my pot and I will add this in. As this cooks, you're going to want to stir around the onions and garlic in the oil for 3 to 5 minutes until they become translucent. And while mine cook, I wanted to share with you the remainder of our gospel lesson for tonight, which is from the Gospel of John. And that is the portion where Jesus is sharing with the disciples that now that the Son of Man has been glorified and God has been glorified in him, God has also been glorified in, will be glorified, continue to be glorified. And he goes on in his Jesus-y way in the book of John. But he reminds them, I'm only going to be with you a little bit longer. And so you might look for me, but you will not find me. And where I'm going, you cannot come. And then he says, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, people will know that you are my disciples. And I wanted to make red lentil soup tonight, this particular recipe, because I learned how to make this soup when I was in Lutheran Volunteer Corps. It was a common recipe in our house. And Lutheran Volunteer Corps is really one of the most concrete places in my adult life where I learned what loving really looks like. And that loving one another isn't a sentimental emotion or a warm, fuzzy feeling, but it's a commitment to showing up, to following through, to acts of love and kindness towards others. So, your onions and your garlic are likely, starting to get to the point where they'll be ready. And this is where you'll likely want to have your water handy, and your spices. I've got a ground cumin and cayenne pepper. The cayenne pepper is very optional, and use only a dash unless you like a lot of heat in your food. So I'm going to get the... We add the tomato paste, which is 1 tablespoon of tomato paste. You add that right into the pot with your onions and your garlic, and then you will add your teaspoon of cumin and your dash of cayenne pepper, and then a little bit of salt and pepper to taste. So that is, I have now technically added my water and my broth, but because we use Better Than Bouillon, I am going to add the bouillon paste, it's a tablespoon per cup, right into the pot. It dissolves best in warm water anyway, so that's why I will do it that way. If you don't use Better Than Bouillon, if you have broth, then you do not need to worry about this step. Again, I'm glad I have my apron. You'll want to just stir everything around to make sure that nothing is sticking to the bottom, that you're getting all of the delicious tomato paste and spices that were at the bottom mixed in with the water as it begins to warm up, and the broth. And then into this mixture, into the water and the broth, you will put your carrots and your 1 cup of red lentils. I sometimes add a little more lentils just because I like a meatier soup. No pun intended there. But you can just add the 1 cup if that's what you'd prefer. And then we, you might want to turn up your heat a little bit so that this will come to a nice roaring boil. And once it has come to that boil, then you will turn it down to a simmer to turn your heat down to low. Let it simmer for 20 to 25 minutes on low, partially covered. So I'm going to wait for this to come to a rolling boil. Because I wanted to share exactly why LVC taught me about what real love looks like and what love as a disciple looks like. In my house, we had 7 people, all young adults, living together who had never met each other before. And we were tasked with living in an intentional community, and all had committed to doing so. So we all shared our household financial resources, all of the money that went towards food and towards rent and towards utilities. We all shared in a common bank account. We created a meal wheel and a chore wheel, where everyone, every week there were 2 people that went shopping, a head shopper and an assistant shopper, and then 5 people who cooked a meal Monday, Sunday through Thursday. And then we left Fridays and Saturdays for people to fend for themselves. None of those details are what you needed to know, except that for our life to work together, we needed to remain committed to one another. And I discovered during that year that not having to worry about my rent being paid, not having to worry about what food was in my house or if I was going to have food for lunch, I felt so safe and at home and loved. And it only worked because everyone committed to doing their part and everyone committed to showing up. And love, that's what love felt like for me that year. I was living in a place I'd never lived before, a big city. I was living in Oakland. I'd never taken public transit before and found myself taking the bus to work every day. I was working as a case manager and found myself in a professional setting I'd never been in before. There were so many unknowns, and every day when I got home from work and walked into our house and could smell whatever deliciousness my housemate who was cooking that night had made for dinner, and knew that there was food prepared for me and ready for me whenever I came home, I knew I was safe, I knew I was loved, I knew that whatever had happened that day, I could let it go and show up and be present in that space and be seen fully for myself. And I don't want to glorify Lutheran Volunteer Corps. It was also when 7 young adults who never met before lived together. We had our arguments about who was doing all the dishes and whether people did their chore on time and, you know, the arguments you have with roommates. We didn't all really like each other all the time, nor see eye to eye about everything or get along. But even so, we all committed to doing our part to keep our house and our life functioning for one another. And we showed up for one another in that way. And this Monday, Thursday, as we think about what it means to be a disciple, what it means to live our discipleship through loving one another, that is the invitation to us, that we're in this transition time right now where the vaccine is getting rolled out. Everyone's kind of in a different spot in relationship to that. We're continuing to see, as we open up, a lot of violence in our streets and violence against people of color in particular. And we have a commit, we see through Jesus's act of service and through Jesus's teachings and commitment and through what Jesus encounters in the next coming days, that we have a responsibility to show up with real love, not to necessarily show up with a sense of really liking a bunch of people or really understanding everybody else, but showing up and doing our part to keep our life together going, to keep one another safe, to keep one another healthy, to call out the places where we see evil and hatred and violence, and to bring into that space the love and the grace of God, which is embodied in our community and in you and in us. That is our invitation this Monday, Thursday. that is the story that we tell and the story that we know this week is of a love that shows up, a love that is not a warm, fuzzy feeling, but a love that is real, is tangible, and is committed to one another. Amen. So as you see, my soup became boiling. And you do really want to be careful that the lentils don't stick to the bottom of the pan. Mine are a little sticky because I got really interested in sharing my story. And you want to make sure that doesn't happen. But once it gets to a rolling boil like this, you can scrape whatever stuck to the bottom. And you're going to turn down your heat to very low simmer, and partially cover it. You'll let it cook for 20 to 25 minutes. I would check it every 5 minutes to make sure nothing's sticking to the bottom and to see where the lentils are. And as soon as the lentils kind of are clearly soft, you can, and the carrots are cooked, then your soup is done. So it might not be 20 minutes for your soup. It just depends. At that point, you are welcome to use an immersion blender or a potato masher to mash up some of the soup to make it a little creamier, or you can just eat it as is. Bon appetit.
When twilight comes and the sun sets, Mother Hen prepares for night's rest. As her brood shelters under her wings, she gives the love of God to her nest. Oh, what joy to feel her warm heart beat and be near her all night long. So the young can find repose, then renew tomorrow's song. One day the Rabbi Lord Jesus called the 12 to share his last meal. As the hen tends her young, so for them he spent himself to seek and to heal. Oh, what joy to be with Christ Jesus, hear his voice, oh, sheer delight, and receive his servant care all before the coming night. So gather round once again, friends, touched by fading glow of sun's gold, and recount all our frail human hopes, the dreams of young and stories of old. Oh, what joy to pray all together, kneeling as one family, by a mother's love embraced in the Blessed Trinity.
At this time in our worship service and our meal tonight, we want to really share that sacred meal of Holy Communion with one another, and we invite you to share it with those that you are gathered with tonight. So we'll speak some words. You're invited to mirror those words to one another tonight as you share that Holy Communion. If you are eating this meal, preparing this meal, sharing in this meal worship alone,
by yourself, then hear these words that are spoken as words that are spoken for you. When Jesus gathered with his disciples on that last night that he had on this planet, in that form, he gathered with them and instituted a tradition that we now call the Lord's Supper, or the tradition of Holy Communion. Paul speaks about that tradition in the words that he writes to the Corinthians, and it's those words that we share tonight. When Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body that is given for you. Do this in the remembrance of me.'" And then in the same way, he took the cup. And after supper, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the body of Christ. Let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now we move into the completion of our worship service and meal. And as we move into that completion, we invite you to clear the table and to clean the dishes. And as you do so in a reverent mood, remembering the power of this night. And as you do, you'll see us clearing our tables and cleaning our dishes and clearing the table that is our altar, our shared space at church, as we prepare for the marking and the remembrance of Good Friday.
Let my prayer enter into your presence. Incline your ear to my lamentation. For I am full of trouble. My life is at the brink of the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I have become like one who has no strength. Lost among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the depth of the pit, in dark places, and in the abyss. Your anger weighs upon me heavily, and all your great waves overwhelm me. You have put my friends far from me. You have made me to be abhorred by them. I am in prison and cannot get free. My sight has failed me because of trouble. Lord, I have called upon you daily. I have stretched out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Will those who have died stand up and give you thanks? Will your loving kindness be declared in the grave, your faithfulness in the land of destruction? Will your wonders be known in the dark, or your righteousness in the country where all is forgotten? Lord, why have you rejected me? Why have you hidden your face from me? Ever since my youth I have been wretched and at the point of death. I have borne your terrors and am helpless. Your blazing anger has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. They surround me all day long like a flood. They encompass me on every side.